go ahead and turn to Luke 21. Before we dig into the message, this really has nothing to do whatsoever with what we're going to talk about, but I just want to share it with you. I read it this morning, and I just want to point something out. I think this is neat. Luke 21. All right. Hopefully you're there. I want to start reading here in verse 8. Luke 21 and verse 8. And just waiting to make sure that we are there. Hearing less and less pages turning. Very good. All right. Notice what it says. And he said, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars, commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto him, Nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquake shall be in diverse places, and famine, pestilence, fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. And before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay, nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren, and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to put to death. And ye shall be hated, and of all men for my name's sake. There shall not an hair of your head perish in your patience." And this goes on and on. But, you know, as I was reading this this morning, I was just thinking about the fact that, you know, we're living in exciting days. I mean, you know, I mean, it seems like every time you turn on the television, you know, something is happening. You know, you've got North Korea in the news just about every week, you know, threatening to blow us all up. And, I mean, it's wonderful. Lord's coming back, folks. I mean, he's gonna be coming quick. You see how things are, it just seemed to be moving that way. You know, I remember when I was, I think I was in sixth grade, and I remember, of course I wasn't in the youth group yet, but I remember the youth pastor of the church we were at the time getting up and saying, "I firmly believe that Christ is gonna return in my lifetime." I remember sitting there thinking, boy, you know, how does he know that? Why? Does he have some special revelation from God? What, you know, what is that? You know, but you know, the longer I live, the more I just think he's coming quick. And I can echo as that youth pastor did many years ago, that I believe that he's coming. I believe that he's coming soon. So with that in mind, I think that maybe does segue into some of the things we're talking about this morning. Go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at a few verses today. And of course, we're talking about heaven, and what I want to do this morning is we're going to divert just a little bit, and I kind of sort of decided this last Sunday afternoon as I was reflecting on the things that we did get to and things we didn't get to last week in the Sunday school time, but I just want to sort of sidestep and deal with some things that we did deal with last week, but give you some practical application for those truths. You know, when it comes to the Word of God, it is just filled with, it's just a treasure trove of information. But it's not just information, it's theological truth. And I know sometimes when we hear that word theology, we kind of get maybe a little bit, I don't know, not scared, but we think to ourselves, boy, do I understand everything in regards to that word or maybe a certain study, and how maybe sometimes things can be confusing or we don't see things as clearly as we'd like to. But, you know, the point of understanding understanding biblical truth, there's a point to it. It's so that we can live it out in our lives. It's not just simply to, well, when somebody asks me a question, I can give them a theological answer. No, if we read it and we know it, but we don't apply it, it's not going to have any effect in our lives. And so that's the point of the things that I hope that we're going to talk about concerning heaven. That's the point of what we're going to talk about today, because these things will help us in how we live. If we better understand it, we can know how better to apply it. Okay, so this morning specifically, I want us to consider this, understanding how our body, soul, and spirit impacts our everyday life. Okay, and we're going to pick apart just some of the things that we looked at last week. But notice Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Look at what it says here. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And we started talking about this last week, just how the Lord created us. He created us in three parts. Now, if you look at God, you look at our Creator, we see that He has three parts as well. Okay? And His, of course, is what's the Trinity made up of? Okay? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Well, we're made up of three parts as well, which we started getting into last week. Now, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. This is a verse that I don't believe we got to last week, but it's an important verse in understanding some things that we're going to look at here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I know you're going to have to work a little bit harder maybe than you normally do. Just try to stay with me and stay alert. We had a late night last night with an activity, but I think we'll be all right if we stay together here. Try to stay focused. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice verse 23. We find the distinction here, the separation of how the Lord created us. Verse 23, look at what it says. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." All right, we see the breakdown there. Turn to Hebrews 4 and verse 12. This is another place that we often use this particular verse in another fashion, but you see the same distinction here. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Wow, this is a familiar verse to us. Notice what it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Okay, now listen to what the Word of God affects. What aspect of us does it affect? Notice, "and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow." Now, what are the joints and marrow? That could be what? The body, right? So you have here how the Word of God impacts every aspect of our being. And these are the parts that we see in Scripture. Now, we looked at last week, we talked about what the body is. The body is that outer circle, okay, that comes in connection with the material world. We often think about the body in relation to the five senses that we have. You go a little bit deeper and you get then to the soul, which is our imaginations or our conscience, our reason. This is our memory bank. This is our emotions or our affections, okay? This is your personality at work, okay, in that aspect of the soul. And then you go a little bit deeper and you get the spirit. I don't have a marker up here this morning, or you get to see my beautiful handwriting. But you remember last week we kind of drew this out, okay? And we have three circles. And so we've got the outer, we've got the inner, and then we've got the innermost part, which is the spirit. Now, this truth is more than just a chart, okay? It's more than just a thought process in our head, because visualizing this helps us to know how things affect other things. And that's what I kind of want to show you this morning. But I want us to look at John chapter 3. Okay, we're going to go to John chapter 3. Many of you will remember this as the chapter in which Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And Jesus gives him some very important words here that I want us to focus in on. John chapter 3, look at with me verses 4 through 8. You're going to see some language here that's going to help us identify some things. But notice, John chapter 3, starting in verse number 4. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Okay, Jesus has told him, if you want to be saved, you must be born again. And so his mind immediately went to the physical. And he said, well, you know, how is this from a physical standpoint? How is this even possible? So he's a little confused at this point. But notice verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Okay, so you see what happens here when a person accepts Christ as their Savior. It affects us at our innermost core, our spirit. The Lord gives us a new spirit. Our spirit, if you will, is born again. We have a new spirit inside of us. Now, the reason that's important is because that change that takes place at our innermost core should bring changes to other areas of our life. I'm going to look at some verses here. I want everybody to, while I'm giving you a few things here, I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, God wants to use His Spirit to impact us. Okay, now that He is we're born again, okay, the Spirit of God has now come to live in our innermost being. That is going to bring some changes elsewhere, okay? Just as an unsaved individual at his core is living apart from God, that's going to, at some point, that's going to show. Okay, that's going to show from the inside out. Okay, there are going to be some indicators that individual at their core has not accepted Christ, does not have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Our God wants to change us, and He wants His Spirit to impact the way we live. God is in the process of changing us from the inside out. Okay, now, I want you to think about this for just a second, because with a lot of other religions, it's the other way around. Okay, God is in the process of changing us from the inside out. Okay, but there are other religions today that have that backwards. And there are sometimes even people that have good intentions have it backwards in their mind in regards to how to get saved. You have somebody who comes and says, okay, well, I want to get saved, but before, I need to change all of this stuff out here. I want to stop drinking. I want to stop running around on my wife, okay? I want to stop doing you fill in the blank, okay? I want to stop going the places that I'm going, okay? That person has the wrong idea about salvation. Okay, because change does not take place once, you know, oh, okay, I'm going to be modest now. Or, oh, I'm going to go to church now. Okay, that's not when change takes place. Change takes place at the moment that we accept gospel truth and the Holy Spirit begins to live inside of us. That is when the change process takes place. Okay, but some people have it the other way around. You know, you take somebody who is a devout Muslim. Okay, they have certain garments that they want to wear. Okay, or that they are supposed to wear, and so they change their outside. They may even change their appearance. They may change their routine, the places they go, the things that they do when they do them. Hey, I'm going to, you know, to pray to Allah now 3 times a day, I'm going to have my little rug, I'm going to get it out at work, I'm going to do all that. Okay, that's all external change, but what do you have? You have still a lost condition on the inside. The outside has not impacted the inside, and that's not the way it works, okay? But with Christ, and listen, this is the beauty of Christianity, okay? When you understand it, it just makes sense. It does. And it's, I want to say it's brilliant on God's part how He put it together. I feel like that's irreverent in a sense because He's the creator of all things, but it really was. And when we come in line with His thinking, It's kind of like that light bulb moment. You're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Give me a second to get there. I want us to look at the first chapter, because there's a great verse here. 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice, let's see here. I'll find it. Got a wrong reference. I hate when I do that. Just hate it. Give me 1 minute here. Might be able to resurrect this. No. Maybe it's a 12. Oh no, I'm gonna lose it. Just spit. That stinks. Oh well. All right, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to have to skip that verse, but at any rate, what we're looking at here is how the Spirit affects our emotions. Okay, so let's take that inner ring. It's the Spirit. Okay, it's been made new. Okay, so how does that impact the next sector, so to speak, which is our soul? How does our spirit now, because it's new, begin to impact our emotions? How does it impact our personalities? Okay, because God wants to impact from the inside out. He wants to impact your soul. He wants to impact our emotions. Well, how does He do that? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice with me now verse 11. And we see this. We see searching what? In what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify what it testified beforehand in suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Man, I've got another wrong reference. Is it 1 Peter? Oh, I'm in the first chapter. Thank you. My wife rescued me. Thank you. That's why everybody needs to get married. Okay? Everybody gets married and life becomes so much sweeter. All right, we've got it here. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the what? Hey, you guys found it. Great job, okay? Alright, so they're saying this, okay? So now we enter that battleground, okay? Now that our spirit's made new, okay, that battleground is done. The Lord gave us a new spirit. So where does that battleground take place? It takes place in that soul area. This is where the Spirit of God, okay, our spirit is battling our flesh. Okay, and our fleshly lusts war against our soul. And so this is going on. This is where that battlefield is. And so everybody has that. It takes place in that area. But God uses His Spirit to change us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Go. Notice verse 18. Love this verse. Look at what's happening here. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the what? Spirit of the Lord. Okay, so how is it if God's intention is for us to be like Him, and He is going to give us His Spirit, okay, give us a new spirit, how is it that that change is going to be brought about? It's going to be brought about by the Spirit of the Lord impacting every area of our lives. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God uses His Spirit to change us. God uses His Word to change us. We looked at Hebrews chapter 4 and saw how the Word of God impacts every area of our being. God uses His Spirit and His Word to do so. But not only should our spirit affect our soul, not only should I be under the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes to the direction of my emotions, when it comes to the direction of my personality. Hey, when we walk around and we interact with people, That's what the Spirit of God is supposed to do. He's supposed to guard us from going off in lustful things. He's supposed to guard us from being deceivers. He's supposed to direct our emotions, if you will, and our personalities. But working from the outside in, our spirit should also affect our body. It should affect us in some visual ways as well. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Can somebody quote that for me? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. See, Ethan? That you present your what, everybody? Body. Okay, so there is a connection here between what God did on the inside and how it should be affecting other things. Hey, what is that verse saying? Hey, that we need to offer ourselves as a sacrifice unto the Lord in a way that says, hey, I'm committed to you, Lord. I'm surrendered to you. So when people look at a Christian, they should see an individual that is visibly committed to the Lord. That's what a Christian looks like. A Christian who is being impacted not only in their spirit or their emotions and personality, but also being impacted by the way that they present themselves. We talked about this on Wednesday night. This is your countenance. Okay? I don't want to just put on a smile because it makes other people feel good. I want to put on a smile because I believe that Christ would wear a smile. I want to be cheerful because I believe that that's how Christ would present himself. Okay? So it's working from the inside out. And we can see how the body or our physical beings are impacted by what the Spirit of God is doing. Galatians 2 and verse 20. It's another verse we could look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul says, hey, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Hey, don't defile your body. Okay, there's something to be said. Now, there are factions of Christianity that stop at this point. Okay, they start with the Spirit. They say, yes, 100%. Lord gives us a new spirit. All right, let's go to the next circle. Hey, our emotions, our personality? Absolutely. We should be under the Spirit of God's control when it comes to our emotions. They get to that outer circle and they stop. They say, God does not care about the way that I present myself. God does not care about how I interact with other things. Okay? Can I tell you that's a shallow Christianity? All right, because God's intention is that our whole being would be affected by what we believe and what Christ is doing in our lives, okay? Don't fall prey to that. Allow the Lord to make changes in your life. Christine and I were talking on the way here, and we were just having a conversation about the people that we have seen this truth play out in their lives. People that maybe got saved, the Lord began working on their heart, and over the process of time, began to lay aside the places that they used to go. Through the process of time, they began to change, maybe even their outward appearance, into dressing in a different manner. Okay, and you know what? That's not, for some people, it's like, boom. Lord touches their heart about it, and, you know, I just know I need to make these changes. For other people, it's a gradual process that the Holy Spirit brings about in their life. And that's sanctification, and that's fine, okay? But all of us have to understand how the Spirit of God wants to impact our life. Okay, I can't say, well, the Spirit of God just wants me to dress up when I come to church, okay, and that's it. I can't just say, Spirit of God wants me to have my personality, my emotions affected when I go to school each day, okay? No. It's understanding that the Spirit of God is meant to impact every aspect of our being, okay? And like I said, sometimes this is a fast process. Sometimes this is a day-to-day, Lord, show me something today that I need to change. Lord, show me something right now that is preventing me from being more in your image. Lord, open my eyes to how I can make adjustments for you. And you know what? Every single one of us needs to do that. Not any of us has arrived at some spiritual perfection. Hey, if Paul said, you know what, I have not attained, even at the end of his life, if he could say that, there's nobody in this room that could say that either. Okay? So that being said, take the practical, theological truth and apply it to your everyday living. Okay? The Lord can take His Word, impact every layer of our being. But we've got to say, Lord, I surrender it to You. I want You to do it because my end goal is to be more in Your image, and that's what I want You to do in me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the way that You've created us. Lord, when we understand it, Lord, we better can see how, Lord, You want to impact, Lord, our lives. And Father, I pray that we would be, Lord, attentive to that. I pray that if You've even, during this time, Lord, You've brought some things to mind of maybe ways that we're presenting ourselves that, Lord, would be contrary to, Father, what Your Spirit wants. I pray that we would be diligent to bring ourselves in line with You. And Lord, I pray that You would especially help us as we, Lord, move on from this aspect and we head, Lord, to other conversations. I pray, God, that You would use Your Word to speak to us again and it would impact our lives. We love You. Lord, we ask these things in Your name. Amen.